Mo'adim l'simcha, everybody. And Chag Sameach. What we're going to do today, Be'ezrat Hashem, is to try and understand two concepts and where it comes from, where they come from. First of all, is the concept of Sukkot Shalom. Everybody knows in Tfilav, Leil Shabbat, and on Leil Yom Tov, we say, Ufros Aleinu Sukkot Shlomecha. There also is the concept of Ufros Sukkot Shalom. And the question is, where does the idea of Sukkot Shalom come from? Usually they explain it very superficially, that it's talking about the fact, Chazal say that Ru'uya, all of Israel should be able to come into one Sukkah, and that's the concept of Shalom. But we'll see that it's much deeper than that. The second concept is a Kabbalistic concept. Maybe you've heard of Tzila D'Memnuta, which literally means the shade of Emunah, the shade of belief in God, faith. And we're going to study Be'ezrat Hashem where that comes from, not in Kabbalistic terms, but really from the Pshat and psychologically. Okay, so let's look together in the Gemara and Masechet Tanit, Daf Tet Amud Aleph, that's source number one, where the Gemara tells us that Am Yisrael had three leaders and three gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in the Midbar. Each one brought one gift. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Shlosha, Parnasim, Tovim, Amdu, Yisrael. Eluhin, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. That there were three leaders that Am Yisrael had. Notice, a lot of people always think of Moshe and Aaron. Here Miriam is mentioned together in the same breath. Ushlosha matanot tavot ninu al yadam. And Hashem gave us three gifts in their merit. Ve'eluhen, be'er, ve'anan, uman. Most of you are familiar with this from Rashi. Rashi on the Torah brings this idea. And here is the source. Be'er, why did Hashem give us the be'er, hamayim, the water in the desert? Bizchut Miriam. The women who have a direct connection with tahara, with purity, which water symbolizes life, and women are Im Kol Chai Chava, the source of life. The connection with water is very clear. And so she brought the water in the Midbar. Amud Anan, the pillar of cloud, which protected Am Yisrael, Bizchut Aaron. That was for Aaron HaKohen. Man, Bizchut Moshe. And we got the man in the Zchut of Moshe. And that's why as soon as one of them passed away, so that gift or that protection ceased. Meta Miriam nistaleka be'er, shenei marva tamot sham Miriam. That when Miriam passed away, Hashem took away the be'er, the water. Uchti batrei v'lo haya mayim la'eda, v'chazra bizchut shneihem. But then it returned bizchut Moshe and Aaron. Then meta Aaron nistalku ananei hakavod. Right? The protective cloud is Bizchut Aaron HaKohen. And when he died, Vayishmak Nani Melech Arad, and they attacked Israel, because the protection had left. Chazru Shneim Bizchut Moshe. But then, Hashem returned the Be'er and the Anan for the Zchut of Moshe. But Meit Moshe Nistalku Kulan. When Moshe passed away, all three were taken away. Anyway, we see that the Anan is the Bizchut Aaron HaKohen. Now this is obviously directly connected. When I say the term Anan, what does that remind us of Sukkot? The famous Machloket of Rabbi Akiva. Let's look in Source 3. Daf Mesechet Sukkot, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Bet. Detanya Kiba Sukkoto Shavti Et Bnei Yisrael. What are the Sukkot to remind us of? Anane Kavodayu, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that the Sukkot are in memory of the Anane Kavod, the protective clouds. Rabbi Akiva disagrees and he says, Omer Sukkot Mamash Asu Lahem. Hashem made us Mamash Sukkot. Now this idea of remembering what the Sukkot are about, I'm sure you learned it before, but I don't know if you know, most people don't know, that Sukkah is one of the few mitzvot where the kavanah is ma'akev. that if you don't have in mind why you're doing the mitzvah, it's a question whether you're really yotze. Because the Torah tells us, Lima'an yedu dorotechem, ki basukot oshavti et bnei Yisrael. We sit in Sukkot so that we should remember the Sukkot, or the Anan. And as a matter of fact, I'll just give you a tip. In my family, children are have the best memories. And very often I forget to think that I'm in the Sukkah. Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim and Zecher L'Ananei HaKavod. So we had a competition every year that every child who right after the Amotzi would be the first one to say Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim and Zecher L'Ananei HaKavod, he would get a point. And at the end of Sukkot, whoever had the most points, he would get a can of Coke. And that way, and it's a good idea, try it in your own house if you have nieces or nephews. Bezrat Hashem, we have children. Children always remember what they're supposed to remember. And just give them a little incentive. And this is the idea of the Anan is the source for the Sukkah. Now, if we saw that the Sukkah represents the Anan, and the Anan represents the Sukkah, and who brought the Anan? Aharon. So Aharon is the one who brings the Sukkah. Now, who is Aharon? Well, everybody remembers Source 5, the Mishnah Masechet Avot. Hillel Omer Avimi Talmidav Shel Aharon. Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Ohev Et Abriel Temekarvan LaTorah. Aharon is Mr. Popular, Mr. Nice Guy. Chazal tell us that he was more popular than Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, Aharon is the one who teaches us to be Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. So again, let's backtrack. If the Sukkah is in memory of the Anan, and the Anan is brought L'Zecher Aharon, and Aharon is Mr. Shalom, this is the source of the concept of Sukkat Shalom. Okay, so this is the important idea. A second concept that we want to deal with, also connected with the Anan, is that we all know that the Anan, clouds, come right before the rain. You also know that Chazal tell us in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that on Sukkot, Am Yisrael is Nidon al Geshem. Hashem decides how much rain He's going to bring us. You also know that in Eretz Yisrael, the agriculture, the economy, is based on rain, and there's a shortage of rain. It's not like in America or in Europe. In most countries, modern countries, there's no shortage of rain. But in Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps us on a tight leash, and if we do the mitzvot, and if we daven well, He will give us rain, and we will have the economy. So when the Sukkot, the Ananim, this is the period that the clouds begin to come, because it's right before the rainy season, right? We start saying Mashiva Ruach Morida Geshem at the end of Sukkot. So what comes right before the rain season? The clouds. So the clouds are a sign that we have potential to get rain. And that is what we should be having in mind in Sukkot. And that's another aspect of the Sukkot as the Anan. Anan is potential rain. And we have bitachon and we daven that Hashem will bring us rain. And we'll talk about that more in a couple of minutes. But the second and the major concept that I want to focus on is Tzila D'mehemnuta, which literally means the shade of Emunah. I don't know how you translate Emunah, so we'll just call it Emunah. It's also faith. It's also trusting in Hashem. The source you have in Source 14, in the Zohar, Chelek Gimel on Parshat Temor, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Bet, on the Pasuk B'Sukkot Teshvu Shivat Yamim, where we have the mitzvah, is to sit in Sukkot for 7 days. P'kudada, you'll notice the Zohar is written in Aramaic, this mitzvah, leshev basuka, v'aha ukimna, begin li'itchaza di Yisrael, yatvi baraza d'me'emnuta. And we fulfill, we sit in the sukkah, to show that we know the secret of emunah. Below the chilu klal, we are not scared. We're not scared of cats or mice coming into the sukkah. We're not scared of a wind that's going to blow the sukkah away. Da mikatriga it parish minayu. The sukkah protects Am Yisrael. V'chol man de'iu baraza de'memnuta yativ basukkah. Whoever knows the secret of emunah, he sits in the sukkah. So the question is, what is the secret of emunah? Usually when you hear a secret is about to be divulged, everybody is curious, hey, what's the secret? Here it is, the secret of the tzila d'memnuta, the sukkah as the shadow of emunah. There are three aspects. Let's look together in Source 7. From Sefer Shmot, Perek Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Kav Dalet. Ki yorish goyim mipanecha, when Hashem will chase away the goyim from Eretz Yisrael and give us the land, as he did in the time of Yehoshua bin Nun, v'irchavti et gvulecha, Hashem will stretch out our borders. Velo yachmod ish et artzicha ba'alotcha liraot et pnei Hashem elokecha shalosh pamim bashana. And your enemies will not be jealous of your land 3 times a year when you come on Aliyah L'Regel. Now it's interesting, I think it's Rav Sadia Gaon who brings this pasuk as one of the proofs of the truth of the Torah. Because only a God could dare have the guts to make a promise that when all of the men go on Aliyah L'Regel to Yerushalayim 3 times a year, you probably never thought of this, who's going to defend the borders? All right, even before there were satellites, the enemies of Israel wanted the land of Israel. And if they know that nobody is defending the borders and that all of the men over the age of 13 are in Yerushalayim on Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, the enemy will say to themselves, hey, this is the time to overrun and to conquer the land of Israel because all the soldiers are in Yerushalayim. Comes the Torah and says, don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect our borders. Now again, only a God would have the guts to make a statement, I'm going to protect your borders, you can, all the men, all the soldiers can go up to Yerushalayim, and you have nothing to worry about in terms of security. This is Tzila D'Memnuta, the first type of emunah, is that we have emunah that Hashem is going to protect us. Now notice, out of the three regalim, did anybody figure out which of the three regalim is the time where the most enemies would want to come and to conquer the land of Israel? It's Davka Sukkot. Because Sukkot is after we gather the wheat and the barley in Pesach. We also, Chag HaAsif is Sukkot, is that we have already brought in all the figs and the dates and the pomegranates and the apples and the oranges, right? The fruits, they ripen in the summer. The nectarines. So, when are the silos full? When does Am Yisrael have the most abundance of bracha, of agricultural blessing? Davka and the holiday of Sukkot. So if all of the men, if all the soldiers go up to Yerushalayim, this is the time where the enemies of Israel are going to come into the cities where the only ones who are there are the women, the old men who are patur, exempt from Aliyah L'Regel, and the small children who are exempt from Aliyah L'Regel. So if so, this is the time that the enemies might think that they'll attack us. Come Tzila D'Memnuta, and Hashem says, you can bank on God. That during the holiday of Sukkot, even when all of Israel, all the soldiers, all the men are in Yerushalayim and nobody's guarding the borders, God is going to protect us. Okay, so that's the first type of Tzila D'Memnuta, of having emunah in Hashem this time of year, the holiday of Sukkot. The second aspect, let's look in Source 8. You all remember the story of Eliyahu Navi Bahar HaKarmel? Every Friday night, For 30 years, I would tell my children a bedtime story. And if you're ever looking to tell a good bedtime story that all children enjoy, it's the story of Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel. All my kids loved it. And you'll remember the story. You know what? Let's see it inside. Source 8. This is Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Chet, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayaroch et ha'itzim. You know what? Let's just get the background, because I just cut the source short. Most of Am Yisrael was observing the Baal, and they were not serving God. Eliyahu Navi says, I challenge the Baal, that's the Avodah Zarah, I challenge you to a duel. Because your followers choose a bull, I choose a bull. You build a Mizbeach, I'll build a Mizbeach. You put on trees, I'll put on trees. You daven to the Baal, to the Avodah Zarah, and we'll see if he brings fire down to heaven to light up your Mizbeach. And if it doesn't work, I will daven to Hashem, says Eliyahu, and he will light up the Mizbeach. Okay? And in fact, all day, the Baal worshippers are davening, bring down fire, bring down fire, and nothing happens. And Eliyahu has a sense of humor. Eliyahu Navi starts mocking them. And he says, well, maybe your God is asleep. Yell stronger. And they start yelling stronger. And they say, and Eliyahu says, well, maybe God, excuse me, but that's what Eliyahu says. He said, maybe your God had to go to the bathroom. So they wait till he comes back from the bathroom and nothing happens. And after the whole day, Eliyahu says, okay, you had your chance. Can I take my chance now? And all of Israel says, yeah, let's see if you can bring down fire. And then Eliyahu does a super miracle. Let's look in Source 8. Vayaroch et ha'itzim, Eliyahu Navi on his Mizbeach set up the trees. Vayinateach et ha'par vayasem al ha'itzim. And he cut up his bull and put it on the Mizbeach. Vayomer milu arba'a kadim mayim. Chevra, there's the very important point. It seems like a side point that Eliyahu said, fill up four huge jugs of water. Vayitzku et ha'olav al ha'olav al ha'itzim. And they poured four jugs of water on the trees, on the Mizbeach. Vayomer shanu vayishanu. Vayomer shaleshu vayishaleshu. And a second time, and a third time, and the entire Mizbeach is soaking wet. All of the trees are soaking wet. Now, when we learned this in elementary school, they explained to us that why is Eliyahu why does he want to soak the Mizbeach with four jugs of water? Because after the Mizbeach and the tree and the wood is all soaking wet, anybody who's ever been camping at a machane chutz knows that if wood is wet, you cannot light it. It won't ignite. So if Hashem succeeds in igniting the wet wood and the wet Mizbeach, Eliyahu, by wetting it, is making the miracle that much greater. But as we'll see, there's another aspect. Vayolchu amayim saviv lamizbeach v'gam atatala milei mayim. And again, the Mizbeach is soaking. And Eliyahu poured water all around the Mizbeach. Vayhi balot ha-mincha, and it was mincha time. Chazal learned from here that you should not belittle the importance of mincha. That of all of the tefillot, Eliyahu HaNavi was answered, davka at tefillat mincha. Vayigash Eliyahu HaNavi, vayomer Hashem Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yisrael. Hayom yivada ki ata Elohim. Today everyone is going to know that you are the real God. You, and not Baal, not the Avodah Zarah. Be Israel. Vani avdecha. And they will know that I, Eliyahu, am the real prophet. Ubidvarcha asiti et kol advarim ha'ele. What is, and it is with your permission that I did all of this. What is all of this? That Eliyahu stopped the rain. It did not rain for 3 years in Eretz Yisrael. Vatipol esh Hashem vatochal et ha'olah v'et ha'itzim v'et ha'avanim v'et ha'afar v'et ha'mayim asher batala licheka. And water came down from heaven, and Hashem lit up the wet mizbeach and the wet wood and all around the mizbeach. Vayar kol ha'am vayiplu al pneihem v'yomru Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. Right, you all know this from Ne'ilah and Yom Kippur. This is the source that everyone fell onto their face and they declared Hashem is the God. Vayomer Eliyahu le'achav, ale achov v'shato, ki kol hamon hageshem. And then Eliyahu told Achav, listen closely and soon you will hear rain. Chevra, this is the punchline. Can you imagine what is going on in the mind of Am Yisrael and in the mind of Achav the king? When Eliyahu Navi takes four jugs of water, this is the last water that there is in Israel. Remember, there's been a drought for 3 years. People have been scraping the bottom of the wells. There is no water. Achav is looking for water. All of the nation is looking for water. All of the animals are dying. The people are dying because there's no water. Why? Because Eliyahu Navi said, if you don't do tshuva, God's not going to bring rain. Chevra, when Eliyahu poured the water on the Mizbeach, it wasn't just to make the miracle of lighting it that much greater. Do you all see what he's doing? The eyes of Am Yisrael are popping out when they see Eliyahu pouring water on the Mizbeach one time and a second time and a third time and a fourth time. And they're thinking to themselves, he's crazy. He must really have bitachon. He must really have emunah that Hashem is going to give us water. And now you understand the Simchat Nisuch HaMayim. You all know that in Chag HaSukkot, in the Beit HaMikdash, there was Simchat Beit HaShoeva, where they would draw the water from the well and then pour it on the Mizbeach. Girls, Sukkot is the very end of the summer. Again, it is the cloud season. It is right before we hope that the rain is going to come. What is the status of the wells and the water supply in Eretz Yisrael? It is all the way down at the bottom. And when Am Yisrael takes the water from Me'ah Shiloach and pours it on the Mizbeach, we are replaying the act of Eliyahu Navi, who's pouring the water on our Carmel, saying that we have bitachon, we have emunah, that emunah kalkali, we have financial trust in Hashem, that He is going to bring us rain, and that's why we are willing even to pour our last water on the Mizbeach, just like Eliyahu poured the last water on the Mizbeach, and in the end, what happened? Rain came. Chevra, this is the second type of Sila Dememnuta. The Sukkah is also the shade of Emunah regarding security, that our enemies won't overrun us. And number two, we see here also financial security, that we have Emunah, and that's what the Simchav Nisuch HaMayim, pouring the last water on the Mizbeach, is. But the third, and maybe the most important aspect of Emunah, is psychological emunah. However, let's look together in Source 9, where Nehemiah, Perek Chet, it says Tet, but it's supposed to be Chet, tells us about how they celebrated the holiday of Sukkot during the time of the second Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Yudalid. Vayimtzu katu batorah asher tziva Hashem biyad Moshe, asher yashvu bnei Yisrael besukkot b'chag b'chodesh ha'shvi'i. And they took out the Sefer HaTorah in the Beit HaMikdash, and it said there, all of Israel should sit in Sukkot, on the holiday of Sukkot. Listen closely. Follow inside. Pasuk Tetvav. Source 9, Pasuk Tetvav. V'asher yashmiu v'yaviru kol b'chol areyem u'birushalayim lemor. Su'u ahar, go out to the mountains. Ve'viu ale zayit v'ale etz shemen. bring in the leaves of the olive trees, Ve'ale Hadas, and the leaves of the Hadasim, Ve'ale Tmarim, and also the Lulavim, the Ale Tmarim, from the palm trees, Ve'ale Etzavot, and the Hadasim, Etzavot, Lasot Sukot Kakatuv. Girls, did you notice that they used to make the schach of the sukkah out of two of the four minim, out of hadasim and palm branches? Chevra, focus well. When we take the lulav and etrog and the hadasim and aravot in our hands, and where are you supposed to lechatchilua make the bracha of the arbat aminim? Inside the sukkah. Did you know that? You're supposed to lechatchila, if you have a sukkah, bench on lulav and etrog inside the sukkah. What are we doing? We are holding the four species, the new species. What is a lulav? A lulav is a closed palm branch, which is going to be next year's schach. And also the hadasim are next year's schach. And we hold the new lulav and hadasim in our hands. And when we shake them, especially up, we are mixing the hadas and the lulav of this coming year with the hadas and lulav on the schach of last year. Do you all see the beauty of what's happening? Chevra, are you with me? In other words, just like last year, we have lulav and etrog and hadasim and arava, and we have apples and oranges and figs and pomegranates, so too we daven and we shake this coming year's palm branch and this coming year's new hadasim to unite last year, the schach, with this coming year, the arbat aminim. And this is a very, very important phenomena where in Hebrew there is a play on words. It's not a play on words. It's God invented the Hebrew language that Sipuk, Chag HaSukkot is the holiday of Sipuk, but it's also the holiday of Safek. Sipuk means satisfaction. We're sitting with our silos full. Our houses are full of grain and fruit and vegetables. That is the sipuk from last year. That is the schach. But we also have safek. Is next year going to be as fruitful? And this is a beautiful concept, which I always knew was around, but recently I understood there is a term in psychology called cherophobia. What is cherophobia? A person is scared of being happy. That when a person is happy, he then is scared of losing his happiness. And it's a very common phenomena. As a matter of fact, this type of anxiety is very normal. I'll tell you personally, when twice in my life that I contemplated suicide. Now, Baruch Hashem, I'm very healthy psychologically, but when I was 21 years old, I was Rosh Moshe in Camp Moshava of Indian Orchard. And even though I was only 21 years old, I was in charge of the whole camp of 500, 600 children and a staff of 100 people. And some of you may know Chana Spiegelman, who does the job today. I did it at the age of 21. It was part of a youth movement. And Baruch Hashem, there was a lot of Siyata Dishmaya. And it was actually the climax I had done. Actually, I was 22. I learned in yeshiva for 2.5 years. Then I went on shlichut to America for 2 years. And at the time we started Bnei Akiva of Riverdale, it was the largest sniff in the New York, New Jersey area. And it was very successful. And then again, Camp Moshava was very successful. And I was about to come back to Israel. And the last night of camp, we had a banquet. And there was so much Shira and Rikudim and Avira. It was like an unbelievable climax to a great summer. And also to a very, Baruch Hashem, a very successful Shlichut. And then all of a sudden, mamash in the middle of the banquet, I felt a total down, a total emptiness. And I almost broke out in tears. And I left the banquet. And my fiancé at the time, later to become my wife, saw that I ran out. And she came after me. And she saw that I was very upset. And she said, "What's the matter? Everything is going so great. The summer was such a success. Your shlichut was such a success. Why are you upset?" And I tried putting in words, again, this feeling of what now? Sometimes when you have a big goal and you achieve the goal and you're really happy, but then you ask yourself, what now? Where do I go now? It's like for 2,000 years, we were yearning for Hatikva Liotam Chofshi Ba'artzeinu, to be a free people in Eretz Yisrael. Now today, we are born into having a Jewish state. So what now? What is the next goal? What is the next dream? Do you all see the idea? That it's dangerous to fulfill your dreams. It's good to fulfill your dreams. And that's what Sukkot is about. But you also have to be realistic that together with the sipuk comes the safek. Together with the fact that I have the schach and the year was very fruitful, I have the new lulav and the new hadasim. And who is to say that Hashem is going to bring me rain and fruit just like He did last year? By the way, I remember the first time when I put out a disc of 12 of my musical compositions, I had the exact same feeling. That when you're working on a project for months and months, and you save up money, you put out 40,000 shekel, and you take an arranger, and you take a guitarist, and and then it comes out, Baruch Hashem, you fulfilled your goal. And my wife made a party to break out the new album. And again, I felt a sudden down. Again. But at least this time, I was prepared. Because I knew what the concept of cheerophobia is. That you have to set a new goal for yourself. And that there is no such thing as fulfilling all of your goals. For those who learned with me Orot HaTshuva, this is the arrow that Rav Kook draws, where at the top, it's the arrow. The whole world is based on evolution. Where all the time we have new goals and we fulfill the goals and the microcosm, the individual, is advancing and learning and trial and error and learning from your mistakes the whole time. But never rest on your laurels. That's the first aspect of psychological security. Know that there is going to be this cheerophobia, this fear of being happy. A second aspect is Kohelet. Girls, you all heard and learned Kohelet. I could summarize Kohelet in one sentence. Shlomo HaMelech said, something is missing. I thought that money would bring me happiness until I was the most wealthy person in the world, and I saw that something's still missing. And then I thought, women will bring me happiness. And then Shlomo HaMelech says, well, I have 1,000 wives and something is still missing. It ain't there. And then Shlomo HaMelech thought, wisdom, chokhmah, that's going to bring me happiness. And then Shlomo HaMelech said, hey, Hashem gave me more wisdom than anybody in history, and I'm still not happy. In other words, Kohelet says to all of us, if you think that money is going to bring you happiness, that women or men are going to bring you happiness, that wisdom is going to bring you happiness, Shlomo HaMelech says, I've been there, done that, something is still missing. And that, again, is part of the cheerophobia. That even though if a person succeeds in making his money and having his family and learning wisdom, something is still missing if you don't have Sof Davar HaKol Nishma et Elokim Yirah Mitzvotav Shemor Kizeh Kol HaAdam. As Kohelet finishes up, what I can save you time. I've been there. I had more money and more wives and more wisdom than any of you will ever have. Don't waste your time. Yirat Hashem, that is what's going to bring you happiness. So that's a second aspect, that even when a person is happy and his silo is full, nevertheless, he feels that something is missing. That's the second aspect of cheerophobia. A third aspect of cheerophobia is connected with the first aspect, the emunah of security. Hare, if a person has a wealthy house and has a lot of fruit, he then is worried that what? Somebody's going to steal it from me. Maybe somebody's going to take it from me. Or again, maybe next year won't be as fruitful. And this is a third aspect of cheerophobia, of the problem of being happy. There's a fourth problem of success, psychological success. And that is what's called imposter anxiety. Say if you win the Chidon HaTanach, or you win a prize for the best student, or you are the valedictorian, or you get a Nobel Prize. Every smart person knows there are certain things that I do not know. And what's going to happen if people realize and find out that I'm really not so smart as they think? Do you all see the problem? This is what's called the imposter anxiety. Maybe I'm an imposter. Believe me, I'll tell you, when you're a rabbi, I remember the first time when I got my smicha and I came into a hall and people stood up for me, and this is exactly what I thought for myself. I said, hey, I'm not as smart as they think. I'm not such a tzaddik as they think. What if they find out my faults? And this is a fourth aspect of the problem of success. To summarize, there are four psychological problems of success, of sipuk, which davka brings safek, that davka when I'm happy and I achieved my goals, I have the safek, I have the doubt, four doubts. Doubt number one, what am I going to do now? I achieved my goal, so where do I go now? Number two, even though I achieved my goal, something is still missing. Kohelet. Problem number three, even though I achieved my goal, maybe somebody's going to take it away. Maybe somebody's going to dethrone me. Problem number four, the imposter anxiety. What if people really find out that I'm not as smart or not as talented as people think? Comes Chag HaSukkot and teaches us that together with the sipuk of last year is the safek of the coming year. And that's what I brought for you from the tour in Source 15. The tour brings that of each of the three regalim, they're keneged three avot. Avram Avinu in the story of Avram and the angels, that's Pesach. Yitzchak Avinu is Shavuot, that's the shofar that was blown on Har Sinai. Chazal say that was the ram from Yitzchak, Akedat Yitzchak. Yaakov represents Sukkot. Why Yaakov? Chevra, focus. Because Yaakov is the gray area. Yaakov is the end of the Avot, but the beginning of the nation. The Avot we know were very great, they were very successful. Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. But the question is, Am Yisrael, that's the transition. When Yaakov was turned into Yisrael, he now, and his children's children, and all of us, we are meant to be Am Yisrael. And Yaakov had a safek. What is going to be with all of his children? And Am Yisrael said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Listen, Yisrael, Yaakov, all of us are your continuations. Sukkot, again, is the tefer. It's the seam in between the Schach and Arbat Aminim. The last season and the new season. The Sipuk and the Safek. And this is the beauty of holiday of Sukkot. Three types of tzila d'memnuta, the shade of emunah. We talked about the emunah of security, that Hashem will protect us, that our enemies won't run us over and attack our borders on Sukkot when all the men, all the soldiers are in Yerushalayim. Number two is security of parnasa, of kalkala, of financial security, that we pour the water on the Mizbeach, trusting in Hashem that He will bring us water also this coming year. The Safek, the Anan, where we hope that will bring water, just like last year's Ananim. And the third, and maybe the most important for us today, if you're not agriculturalists, and you're not farmers, and you're not soldiers, is the psychological aspect of tzila d'memnuta. The problem, the Torah's answer to chirophobia, of how to deal with the anxiety of being happy. That it's not difficult, that it's not easy to be happy, and that davka in the season that we're happy, we turn to Hashem and daven to Him that He should help us reach our next goal. That He should protect us, that our enemies shouldn't take away what we achieved. And that we should feel not like Kohelet. That we should not feel something's missing. Comes the Sukkah and tells us, Sof davar akol nishma, if you have Yirat Hashem, if you have Emunah, then you also have psychological health. And that is the Chag of Sukkot.